1 Thessalonians 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. Thanksgiving for the Thessalonians' faith. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that we have chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in our midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell you how you returned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath.
All right, thank you, Lachlan. Let's go. All right, how are we doing? I thought there was no one here for a second. I was a little concerned. But welcome to Youth Sunday. Glad you're here. If you're like, yo, what the heck? Pastor Zach's not up there. I would say check your eyes because he's right there. But yeah, glad you're here. If we haven't met, my name's Seth. I'm the youth director here at FPC. Just to give you like a heads up on the front end, thank you for this chance to kind of sharpen my skills in front of you a little bit. I get to do it with the youth every week, but obviously this is a little bit different. And so thank you for your patience with me in that. It's cool to think how many people that I really admire have stood in the same spot. You know, guys like Tim Timmy, Brian Morgan, Josh Weiser have all kind of stood in the same spot. And so to get to do the same thing with all of you now is a little surreal for me. And it's fun to think about like the people that we do admire and the people that we do model life after. If you were to ask me now, like, who are people that I imitate, who are people that are role models to me, I would name, you know, the people I just mentioned, people of really high character. But if you were to have asked me when I was a student, when I was a little kid, the answer would have been a little different. It would have been this first picture that we have here. Yeah, the answer was Batman, 100%. That's all I wanted to be as a kid. And so I was Batman, I think, 5 or 6 times for Halloween. Like, or some variation of it, right? Every now and then I'd get really, like, adventurous and be Robin. And so these pictures are only from, like, 2003 to 2005. Like, all of these were in, like, a 2-year span, you know? And so that was, like, my entire goal in life, right? That's, like, every Halloween, that's all I wanted to do. There was also, we have another one. These are not from Halloween. I was just also Batman the other 364 days a year. That was my entire goal in life. That's all I wanted to do was, you know, drive the Jeep Power Wheel and be Batman. And so the birthday cake, there's a little Batmobile up there. I'm pretty sure I still have that toy somewhere. But it was great. That was my entire goal. Everything about it, that's all I wanted to do. My mom's here. I don't think she remembers this story. I once got in trouble as a kid because she walked out into the backyard and I was beating up her plants. I tried to tell her I was fighting poison ivy. It didn't really work. I was like, no, you don't understand. Like, I'm Batman. And, you know, in my defense, they were elephant ears. I was doing her a favor. Those plants are a menace to society. Should not exist. Whoever brought them here, I don't know why. But yeah, that was my whole goal. That's all I wanted to do was, like, be Batman. And I was, like, scheming up ways. In school, they'd give you the paper and you'd answer, like, the same 4 questions. What's your favorite color? What's your favorite food? What do you want to be when I grow up? Batman every time. That was all I wanted. And so, yeah, that was it. I was like, I saw it. I was like, that's what I want to do. We're going to make it happen. And so as we kick off this new series on the book of 1 Thessalonians, we're going to be looking at, you know, the importance of what it means to follow, what it means to lead, what it means to have a role model, what it means to be a role model. And so if we're asking, like, okay, why does that matter? If you think about the video that played before the start of service, if you weren't here, we've had the students on video. They talked about why do they like coming to youth. And then the second half, they talked about their small group leaders and how much their example means to them. And if we think about that, like, some of those students have been with the same leader for 6 years now, and they've just been doing life together for the last 6 years, learning what it means to follow Jesus, what it means to do life, how to, like, be a human, you know? At least, I assume so. When I was in middle school, I didn't know how to be a human. And so that's why it matters, right? Is it's like, who are we learning from? Because we're all learning from someone. Who are we learning from? And so for some context, the book of 1 Thessalonians is a letter written by the early church leader Paul to the church of Thessalonica. Previously in the book of Acts, he had went and visited the Thessalonians, and after a month of being there, tons and tons and tons of Jewish and Greek people began to give their lives to Jesus. It was awesome. But then, you know, Paul gets accused of treason against Caesar, gets chased out of there, has to leave. And so this letter is him kind of reaching back out, sliding into the DMs of the Thessalonians, like, hey, like, new letter, who dis, how you doing, what's up, long time no see. And so he's reaching back out to them. And chapter one is, you know, him greeting them. It's a greetings from Paul kind of letter. And so, which, you know, is what Lachlan just read for us. And so we're going to read through the first part of it again, and we're going to go from there. Sound good?
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, we're going to do it either way, so. All right. So, verses 1-7 says, you know, Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So just right there, right? Like, if you're the Thessalonians, you're like, why wouldn't I want to keep reading this? He's hyping us up. You know, he's telling us how awesome we are, gassing us up. So, like, who doesn't want to keep reading? And that's what we're going to do. So it says, for we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. And so what that means... Bryce, how's it going? You got a question? What's up? What do you got? Let's hear it.
I have a question.
All right, let's hear it. You can just be loud. You're good at that one?
So it says that we're supposed to imitate Paul and the Lord. How's that supposed to work?
That's a great question, Bryce. Yeah, so he asked, you know, it says we're supposed to be imitators of Paul and the Lord. How does that work? Like, how do you do both of those simultaneously? It's a great question, Bryce. Interesting choice of time to ask it, but great question. You can go ahead and return to your seat, and we'll talk about that. So, yeah, so how do you imitate Paul and Jesus, right? That's what it says. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. How do you do both at the same time? And so it's cool because the Thessalonians are imitating Paul, and Paul is imitating Jesus. So it's this, like, linear imitation, like, chain, you know? And so it's interesting because Paul could have easily said, hey, just imitate me. Like, I'm crushing it at life, you know? Paul, like, on paper would have been a great choice of someone to imitate. He wrote, you know, 13 or 14 books of the New Testament, was a prominent leader, was, you know, speaking and writing letters all over the place. If anyone on paper was a great choice of, like, hey, like, be like this guy, it'd be Paul. But that's not what Paul says. Paul says, hey, imitate the only one that matters, and that's Jesus. That's what Paul is doing. Paul is imitating the Lord, and he's asking the Thessalonians to do the same thing. So they're imitating the same person. Imitate the only one who matters, the only one who's ever gotten it right, which is Jesus. Right, and so it begs the question, who are we imitating? Right, depending on when you grew up, that answer might have been different. In the 80s, maybe it was like Harrison Ford, you know? Or, again, when I was a kid, I wanted to be Batman. All my friends wanted to be John Cena. I mean, to each their own. Interestingly enough, we actually asked some of our students who they see the people around them wanting to be like. And so we're going to show you that right now. This is their answer.
A lot of people my age look up to a lot of different YouTubers, whether it's on YouTube or TikTok or just any other social media. You know, a lot of people look up to them because of what they do, whether it be they are up to some crazy antics or they partake in philanthropy, things like that. And I just think that something can be really inspiring to them.
People in my age group really want to be like Taylor Swift because she's really kind to her fans and she's rich and famous.
Mine is Taylor Swift because she's really nice
to her fans and is really good at her job. And she sings really beautifully and has, like, really catchy songs.
They want to be, like, their idols, like Taylor Swift or, like, LeBron or other ones.
People in my age group growing up really want to be LeBron James. They want to be LeBron James because he's really good at his sport and he's rich and famous.
Probably LeBron because he's tall and just looked up to.
I'll say LeBron because he's a great basketball player.
People in my age group want to be like Tom Brady because, like, he's a great football player and he's a GOAT. But people want to be like Stephen Curry because, like, he's a Christian too because he does emotes. Also, he's a great shooter.
For context, I did not tell Joey to do that. He just did that. I didn't know he was going to emote or, you know, hit a three. But yeah, all those people are great at what they do, right? But are they the ones that we want to model our entire lives after? To be determined, right? Like Taylor Swift writes great music. Do I want to model, like, my marriage after Taylor Swift? Probably not, right? Like, doesn't exactly have a great track record there. Tom Brady, right? Great at football. Do I want to model, like, my honesty and my integrity after the person who got caught cheating two or three different times in football? Probably not. LeBron James, greatest basketball player of all time, still human. And Steph Curry, greatest shooter of all time, also human. I forget who it was. Someone said, you know, because they're tall. Like, is that enough reason to follow someone? Probably not. And so, which brings me to my first point, which is we are to follow Jesus's lead. That's the lead that we follow for the entirety of life. It's the only one that you can look at every aspect of life and say, that's who I want to be like, because he got it right. Nailed it 100% of the time. And it's interesting, because we live in a time and a culture now where a lot of people say that they're Christians, but don't even really know Jesus, right? We call it cultural Christianity. It's this idea of, like, oh, like, my mom's a Christian, so I'm good, right? Or, like, I go to church sometimes as long as it doesn't conflict with, like, the football schedule or something else, you know? Or I go to a Christian school, so, like, I'm good to go, right? Like, the thing is that proximity doesn't equal intimacy. Those are two different things. You can be around him all you want. That doesn't mean you know him. And knowing about him isn't the same thing as knowing him. Because the group of people who always know who Jesus is the demons, right? Every time they see him, they're like, Jesus, like, Son of God. And they can quote scripture. They can do all the things. But they're not believers. They're not going to heaven, right? So knowing about him and knowing him are two different things. Because you can be around him all you want, but do you know him? Do you like him? Right? Because Paul knew Jesus, and Paul liked Jesus. And so Paul's example has rubbed off on the Thessalonians, and now that example is being seen by all the others around them. And so, hey, Audra. What's up? I'll repeat what she said, don't worry. Great question, Audra. So she asked, she said she was rereading it, and verses 8 and 9 are confusing to her. She said they sound kind of like gibberish, and that's not a language that she speaks. So I think that's a great question, Audra. How many times, right, do we, like, read through the Bible, and we see something that's like, I don't know what that means, skip on to the next one, you know? And so I think it's great that you're asking what things mean. So thank you for your question. You can go ahead and return back to your seat, and we'll get right into that. So verses 8 and 9, right? So we're going to look at the passage again. We'll reread through what it says, and we'll go over what it means. So, starting in verse 8, it says, "The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath." So, again, right there in 8 and 9, you know, it says, "Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us." Right? And right before that, it says, "Your faith has become known everywhere." So what that means is that the people have seen the Thessalonians' example and are spreading word of it to everyone, everywhere. Right? To the point where it's made its way back to Paul. Paul doesn't have to tell anyone how cool the Thessalonians are, how faithful they are. Everyone else is telling Paul how faithful the Thessalonians are because their faith has spread and grown that much. And so then it begs the question, right, what kind of example are we setting for others, right? What kind of example are we setting for others? And so, right, are we compartmentalized? Does who we are change based on who we're around? does who we are change based on who we're around? Right, am I a bro on Saturdays and a brother in Christ on Sundays? Or am I the same person across the whole thing? Am I the same person from Sunday through Saturday, right? Am I the same all week long? Right, do I treat it like a 9-to-5 that I can kind of clock in and out of? Or is it the thing that shapes every part of who I am? Every thought, every interaction, every word, everything that I do, does it shape every single part of who I am? Right, and so, because what happens is, I didn't grow up in church, and so I had friends who did, though. And so we would have conversations, and they would say, hey, this is what I believe. But then you would watch the way that they would be, that, you know, you would see what they do. You would see them at school. We'd hang out outside of school, and it was totally different. And so what that does is it confuses people. It confused me. I was like, how does that work? How can we say we believe this, but everything we do is the opposite? How do those things, like, coexist? How does that line up? And so the question that we have to ask then is the way that we're living confusing the people around us? Right? If people looked at the way that we lived, would they say that it's confusing? Would they be like, I don't understand how they do both of those things together? Is the way that we're living confusing the people around us? And so this leads to our second point, which is we are to lead Jesus' followers. We are to lead Christ's followers. And so what that looks like, hey, Josh?
So I have a question.
All right, I hopefully have an answer. Great question. So he asked, you know, he said, hey, this is cool and all, but what does it look like practically? Like, what does it look like to set an example for somebody? Great question, Josh. For those who don't know, Josh is like really good at golf. Like, he just had like a tournament yesterday, kind of killed it. Josh, when you wanted to learn how to play golf, how did you learn how to play?
I watched people who I looked up to do it, and I just kind of followed them.
Yeah, he said, you know, I saw other people that I admired play golf, and I modeled after how they played, right? I started doing the things that they did. Great question, Josh. Thank you for asking. We're going to keep going on this subject. How do we do that, right? How do we practically set an example? And the question is in that first point. It is that we follow Jesus' lead, right? And so another great example, we have, you know, a picture up here. If we don't know who they are, if we don't know who it is, on the right you have the second best basketball player ever, Michael Jordan. I'll debate you later. You're wrong. Hey, I'll debate you later. You're wrong. It's LeBron. On the left, we have Kobe Bryant. And so, on the left, we have Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant watched Michael Jordan play basketball and said, hey, I want to do the exact same thing that he did. Right? He watched Michael Jordan and said, I want to be just like him. So he practiced the same way, did all the same things, everything. They shoot the same, like, fadeaway three shot, the same fadeaway mid-ranger. Actually, Michael Jordan couldn't shoot threes. And so, he modeled his game after him to the point where they're like borderline like carbon copies of each other. If you watch them both, you're like, they look the same because he modeled after what he saw Michael Jordan doing. The same is true with the Thessalonians. They saw Paul's example and said, hey, I want in on that. I want to be just like that. And so they started copying what they saw Paul doing, right? They saw Paul's faithfulness and they said, I want to be just like that. I want to do the same things. And they have. They've succeeded to the point where Paul has now heard about it. And so, thankfully, the Bible gives us some really practical examples of other ways that we can set an example. So again, 1 Thessalonians is a letter written by Paul to the church of Thessalonica. Paul also wrote a different letter to his protege, Timothy, and was talking about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And so in chapter 4, verse 12, he says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and impurity. And what's cool is I like the first part here, right? Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. Just real quick, who here knows somebody older than them? Less hands than I thought. Okay. I mean, hey, everyone's known somebody older than them at some point, I'm sure. But, what that means, right, is that all of us can set an example. All of us can set an example for others, right? The students set an example for me all the time. I learn things from them every week. It's so cool. And so the same is true for us. All of us can set an example for somebody. And so if we look at the list that it gave, we're going to kind of go through them one at a time. The first one was speech, right? And so speech, what do you say? Do you talk about people who aren't in the room? Are we overly negative? Do we tear people down? Right? Commandment 3, don't talk as if God isn't. Do we do that? Luke says, you know, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so what do we say? What do we say? Conduct, right, is the second one. Conduct, what do you do? How do you act towards someone who can do nothing for you in return? How do we act towards someone who can do nothing for us in return? Am I only nice to people when it's beneficial to me? Am I transactional with the way I relate to people? Right? All of us are known for something. What are we known for? Right? The Thessalonians became known for being faithful. Right? What do we do? Love. What do you love? Is it football? Right? Is it Michael Jordan, evidently? Is it, you know, social media? Is it your dog? Is it money? Like, what is it? What is it that we love? Fun thought exercise. Parents in the room, what would your children say you love the most just from watching you? Nothing else. Just from watching you, what would they say that you love the most? What would your children say you love the most just from observing you? And so, because in the end, the reason that matters, right? In the end, what you love is what you believe. What we love is what we believe. And so that brings us to faith, right? So what do you believe? Again, not do I identify as a Christian. We talked about that. The demons believed in Jesus. Congratulations, right? So it's not just do we believe in him, but do we trust in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus? Does that define every part of our lives? And so, again, is that the reality of what Jesus did? Is that what defines our entire life? And then the last one on the list was purity, right? Do we value pure thinking? What informs your heart? What are you entertained by? Right? Because I'm guilty of this. I won't speak for all y'all. But for me, right, I think a lot of times I'm guilty of being entertained by the things that Jesus died for. Right? Are we entertained by the things Jesus died for? I felt really convicted recently because, again, for those who don't know, I love music. I listen to it all the time. When Spotify Wrapped comes out, I have, like, twice as many hours as all my friends. Like, all the music. All kinds of music. Big fan. And so, but what happened is I had recommended a non-Christian album to a friend of mine, and he had come back later, and he was like, hey, like, I was listening to that album you recommended. And I was like, yeah, it's kind of cool. But then I realized, like, my speech became different. Like, the words I was saying were different. I was a lot less patient with people. You know, I was kind of, like, I was acting differently now because of the music I was listening to. And that really landed with me because I'm like, dang, like, you know, what am I pouring in? Because ultimately that's what's going to come out. And am I leading people away with the things I recommend to them? Because all of us have influence over people. Are we leading people away with the things that we're influencing them with? And so, parents, we have another free resource for you up here. There's a website. IMDb has one of these. Common Sense Media also has one of these. Plenty of other places have one of these. Yes, The Game Plan, greatest movie ever made. And so, if you haven't seen it, I'll tell you about it later. And so, what it has is it's a parent's review, a parent guide for every movie that's out there. And so you can look and see what exactly is in the movie. You can be like, hey, what kind of language is there? What kind of violence is there? Is there sexual content in this movie? What's in there? Right? Before every movie I go see, I look at this because it's helpful. There's been movies that I want to go see, and then I look, and I'm like, oh, I'm not the target audience for this movie. And so I'm out, you know? And it's fine. Right, and some of us are like, Seth, that's legalistic. No, it's practical, right? Because what am I pouring in? Because what I pour in is what's going to pour out. And so what am I pouring in? What informs my heart? What informs our heart? Because that matters. Right, and so in summary, we're to follow Christ's lead, and we are to lead Christ's followers. And so it's fun to ask ourselves, how well are we doing at these things, right? Like, how well am I following? How well am I leading? And lastly, we have a graphic that's going to pop up of, you know, a full list of other ways. Again, it's not an exhaustive list, but it's a great starting place. It's a good thing to kind of use to, like, see, like, hey, how am I doing at this? I can check and be like, hey, like, how is my speech? How is my conduct, right? Other examples, we have serving. Jesus said, for the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Do we serve others, or do I only do things that serve me? Am I only looking out for me, or do I serve others around me sacrificially? Peacemaking, right? Jesus also said, blessed are the peacemakers. How skilled am I at that? Right? Because there's a difference between, you know, peacemaking and, you know, peacekeeping or peace faking. Do I stay silent because it's easier, or do I go out of my way to make peace between people? Dependence, right? Jesus said, I do nothing on my own. I only do what I see the Father doing. Is that true of us, or do I only do the things I want to do? Or like we said earlier, does Jesus inform every decision I make? Do I factor that in, or do I live life on my own? Childlike curiosity. You know, Jesus said, to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must become like one of these, referring to children. Again, not being childish, I'm already really good at that one, but, like, childlike curiosity. And so a great, like, check-in question to ask yourself is, when's the last time that I said the phrase, I don't know? Because if you're like me, not very often. I think I know everything. And so it's great to think, like, when was the last time I was curious enough about something I didn't understand? Like, you know, like what Audra came up and asked, like, hey, I reread this and I don't understand it. Can you explain it to me? When is the last time we did that? When is the last time we said, I don't know, I want to understand this better? And the last one, humility, right? Philippians says, consider others better than yourselves. Do we do that? I struggle with that one, right? I'm really good at thinking that, like, the Trinity is actually four people and that I'm the fourth one. And so do we do that? Do we live a life defined by humility? Or do we consider ourselves better than everyone else? And so I don't know where we're at today. Maybe we're in different places. Maybe this is your first time here. Maybe you've been here forever. Maybe we're new to the area. Maybe, you know, we've been rooted here a while. But the question that we have to ask ourselves is why? Why does any of this matter? Why does this matter? And it's easy. It's because Jesus is the only one. Whatever sentence you want to add at the end, it starts with Jesus is the only one. Jesus is the only one to live a sinless life. Jesus is the only one, you know, to come and say, hey, die for your enemies and your, not just your friends, right? He does all of that. And so, you know, Jesus loves us so much. That's why it matters, right? Jesus loves us to the point where he went and died and resurrected for us, right? That's how great God's love for us is. If we're going to sum the Bible up in one phrase, right, it's God getting his children back. And that's what he did. He said, hey, I don't want to spend eternity without them. I'm going to come and die, live among them, die on a cross for them, but not just stay dead. I'm going to resurrect so that we can all be there together, right? That's how much he loves us. I think we were talking about this in youth the other week. It's really easy to get kind of numb to the message. I think of like, okay, like Jesus came, died, resurrected. Like, you know, we hear it so much, I think we get numb to it. But I want us to really sit on that and think for a second, like what that really means, right? Jesus was in heaven, came down, lived among us, you know, 33 years, died, you know, the most painful death imaginable, but then doesn't stay dead. He gets resurrected and we get to be with him forever and ever and ever and ever. Right? If you're like me, I don't think about the forever and ever part very often, but it's fun to think about. Like, yeah, what is that going to look like? And we get to spend that with him for all of eternity. And it's cool because there's a lot of imitations, but there's only one worth imitating, and it's Jesus. Right? And so do we do that? Because all of us imitate somebody. Who are we imitating? Right? Is it Batman? Is it LeBron James? Is it Michael Jordan? Or is it Jesus? Is it the only one that matters? Does that shape everything? Because we can imitate anyone, but are we imitating Jesus? Are we imitating the one that matters? And so in order to imitate someone, we have to know them. And in order to know somebody, we got to spend time with them. And so I would encourage all of us, like, spend time with Jesus. You know, today, this week, all the days of our lives, right? Spend time with him, get to know him, because that's how we become imitators, is by spending time with him and getting to know him. And all of us have that choice. Every single one of us can make the choice to follow Jesus. The question is, are we going to make that call? And so, Lord, I pray that that we would make that decision, that we would make that call, that we would have a desire not just to know you, but to follow you, Lord. Our hearts are designed to follow something, and we will. We're always going to follow something. And I pray that everyone in this room, that it would be you, that you would be the one that we'd follow. You're the only one worth following, Lord. Everything else we could follow is just a cheap imitation of you, Lord. And I pray that we'd be leaders and following you, that we would lead other people in following you well, that we would lead people closer to you, Lord, that we wouldn't confuse people by living different lives from what we say, but instead that we'd confuse people with our love, God, because of how much it reminds them of you. And so I pray that you would guide our words, that you would guide our actions, guide our hearts, guide our minds, guide every part of us, God, not just today, but all the days of our lives, not just this week, every day, everything that we do, God. And Lord, I pray that we would remember how much you love us, God, not just to death, but in resurrection, God. That would mark our entire lives, God, that it would shape every aspect of what we do, and that we would lead other people well in finding that, God. That we'd be patient, maybe people don't get it right away, but that we'd be patient in that, and that we would lead well, God. In Jesus' name, amen.